In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear viewers, brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another program of the series Open Talk, coming to you live from the holy city of Qom, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Today, inshallah, we'll discuss a very important topic that Islam has placed a lot of value for, inshallah. With me, I have Brother Abbas, who will tell you more about the topic that we'll discuss.
All praises to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, peace and blessing be upon the messenger's household and companions. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Open Talk on Sahar Universal Network. It's a great pleasure for me and my brother Mahdi to host you in this program. This program is yours, so stay with us till the end of the program. What about today's topic? We're going to talk about an important topic which Islam has given special attention to that topic in Islam, and that is parenting in Islam. Of course, Islam cares about childhood in Islam, and Muslims regard children as gifts from Allah. We'll be back with you after a short break.
Should reform himself and then try to correct others. Before teaching the norms of good behavior to others, he should set an example himself. If you like to correct others and keep yourself flawed, it will be the biggest blemish. When the talking tongue is silent on sermonizing and the actions of the sermonizer speak for themselves, then no ears can keep the sermon out, and nothing is more effectively beneficial than this. God forbid a person is given responsibility in life before he has reformed himself. Imam Ali alayhi salam. When we teach our children, we begin with the deen. If we want to reform ourselves, we must start to examine our own life for lapses in our deen. Do we delay our prayers yet preach to our children to pray on time? Does our Quran lie covered in dust? Do our children see us building our knowledge, making our thoughts of today the modified actions of tomorrow? Or are we dwindling away our family's precious resources with media designed to corrupt the minds and snatch away the souls of our youth? Are we guiding our children's health and lives with the advices of those who know, or turning to the advices of those paid by the exploited pharmaceutical companies and the elite corruptive systems of the world? What are the subjects of our family discussions, and which activities will glue and paint the memories upon which our relationships are formed? Are we unifying our life and our deen? Or have we stripped the message of its spirit, reducing it to robotized rituals like a city without a soul? And when we see or hear our children repeat the things we say, which all too often children do, do we cringe at our reflections, or do our hearts become restful and proud that another good habit has been learned? Do our eating habits represent the teachings of our Prophet, guarding this trust that we've been given? Or are we paving the path for our children's physical destruction, satisfying no more than their taste buds and the pockets of the enemies of Islam? Is our free time spent in frivolous pursuits and building our material inventory, serving to enrich the brutal murderers of our brothers? You know who I mean. Or are we making each day a part of a living testimony of thought and deed that we are waiting for His Eminence, the living Imam? Do we spend our valuable family vacations on visiting and collecting evidences against us of supporting capitalistic and oppressor-owned mausoleums in the name of fun or culture? Or do we visit the sites of the purified ones, those slain in the name of the truth, protecting the message from the likes of those very same oppressors? What pictures do we paint in the minds and the hearts of our future generation, who rely so sensitively on our actions to deliver them to the path? And when we think of the legacies we are leaving behind, do we picture bricks and piles of deep valuable assets, or do we follow the advices of the best father to the best son when he says, "What I love most for you to adopt for my will is to fear Allah, to confine yourselves to what Allah has made obligatory on you, to follow the actions of your forefathers and the virtuous people of your folk." What are the legacies we are leaving behind?
Welcome back, dear viewers. We're here with another series, or another program of the series Open Talk. Today, inshallah, as my friend mentioned, we're going to discuss the very important topic of parenting in Islam. With me, I have Sister Fatima Trudy Sayed from Germany, and also later on in the program, Sister Safiya Abdullah, a wonderful speaker in the field of Islamic teachings, will join our discussion via phone. Sister Fatima, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you very much. Inshallah, before we start with the discussion about how upbringing in Islam should take place and what Islamic teachings we have in that regard, we're going to go to Brother Abbas. He's going to let you know how he can contact us if there are any opinions, comments, or suggestions you would like us to know.
First, let me start by this nice saying from Imam Ali, surely the heart of a child is like a fallow ground. Whatever is planted in it is accepted by it. So it's our duty to take care of the coming generation by protecting their dignity and providing them their needs to serve the community in the future. What about the ways that you can contact us? You can go on the internet, or you can go on Twitter and Facebook. Our webpage is Open Talk Sahar TV. If you have any questions, you can raise your questions, and our experts are here to provide you with answers. If you like to watch our videos, you can go on YouTube. You can go there, you can watch our videos and give your comments. You can also get in touch with us on the phone. Our phone lines are subtitled during the program. You can call us and join us in this program. We are waiting for you, my brother Mahdi.
Thank you very much, Brother Abbas. So, Sister Fatima, inshallah, to start out with the discussion, I think the first question that would come to mind in regards to this topic is, where does upbringing start in Islam? If someone's going to have a child or has a child already, where does that upbringing start? Does it start from, you know, later on in his life, or does it start from the beginning? If you could expand on that, please, a little bit.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Where does it all begin? Yeah. To say that children have been always a test for us,
yes,
and a duty for us, and how we bring them up, we are responsible for the next generation. Like we say that whoever rocks the cradle also rocks the universe, because the universe is part of us and we are part of the universe. And the woman, after all, brings the child into the world, and she's also responsible for the child.
Yes.
And like our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that family, a well-organized family,
yes,
is heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the family also is heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the heaven which is the love which you cannot find in the world, but you, yes, can find it in your family.
In
so where does it all begin? It begins before the child actually is born.
Yes.
Because we carry the characteristics of our parents.
Yes.
And if we are lucky to be born into a religious family, for example, I was born with my pillow was the Bible,
yes,
but I made it the Quran later on.
Yes.
So fortunately, it's one who is born in a Muslim family, and mm-hmm, they more or less practice their religion, and they know their duties, and they know what it requires to do that.
Yes.
Like we say that children haven't changed.
Okay.
It's the parents have changed.
Yes.
Okay. We are parents of these days. These days are not so disciplined,
yes,
themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't got the strength or the courage or the energy to train their children. Now, when you go in a home now, the first parent is the television, and the second,
yes,
is the mother and father.
Yes.
Now, the importance in bringing up children is that the religion is practiced,
yes,
by themselves.
So that's a question I think it's a very important question that we're going to get to, inshallah. How are we going to establish these fundamental principles of Islamic faith within our children? How are we going to instill that in them? If you could point out some of the ways that we could use or employ to establish these fundamental principles, whether it's through, I don't know, playing games with them sometimes, spending time with them, if you could expand on that a little bit.
Two things give you power.
Okay.
That is love and laws.
Mm-hmm.
A child which is brought up without laws, it feels that it's neglected.
Okay.
And a child by nature wants to learn. Mm-hmm. And that is why it's so important to learn from the mother rather than the television.
Yes.
Because it sits in front of the television and it wants to learn and it is learning.
Yes.
But it's learning the wrong thing.
Okay.
So from the minute a child is born, mm-hmm. the mother talks to the child.
Yes.
We teach it a language, mm-hmm. but there is another language, which is religion.
Okay.
The only way we can communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through religion. And religion didn't come, especially Islam, didn't just come like our Prophet went to distribute Quran into the households of
yes.
Mecca. No, he fought for it. He sacrificed 13 hard years.
Mm-hmm.
He sacrificed his wife.
Yes.
Really, she died after going through a lot of hardship. And what we have to say, if it wasn't for the wealth of Khadija, alayhi salam, and the sword of Ali,
yes.
the mission would have not been successful.
True.
Now what we have to do, we mm-hmm. just pick up from there.
Yes.
Everything Islam has been established for us mm-hmm. to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
And religious laws are written mm-hmm. so that we don't become incubant mm-hmm. and or lazy.
Okay. Yes.
If the regularity in Islam teaches us to keep on track
okay.
and all the time, like a child would see what the mother does, and she does it out of love for the mother. After all, religion starts with rituals.
Okay, yes.
With doing things.
Yes.
But a child doesn't have faith, it hasn't got the knowledge.
Yes.
So slowly it gains the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the second stage, and the third stage, of course, is having faith in the heart
yes.
and when it manifests. So before a child goes to school, it should know the laws.
Yes.
It should know not to lie,
mm-hmm.
because all these things, whether it's lies, honesty, is taught by the parents what they do. A
yes.
child naturally copies the mother. If I'm on the phone and say, oh yeah, I can't come because I'm sick, the child said, my mother's not sick, or she got away with that lie,
yes.
I can get away with lies.
That's
so
true.
We actually teach them to lie,
yes.
and lies are so severe and so damaging
yes.
that a child grows up dishonest.
Okay.
If it learns to lie or get away with lies, it will be dishonest in other issues too, towards Allah, towards people, towards parents.
Yes.
And what is important that we can trust our children when we are not supervising them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not that children are nowadays more difficult to bring up. No, they're not. Once they feel, oh, I can do this and I can't do that.
Yeah.
But what is important that the mother responds with love towards the
mm-hmm.
child. If it does it, she said it's better not to do. If it lies, she said, you know, what you have done is not bad.
Yeah.
But the lie is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the lie should always
to express these principles, to sort of establish them with that love. That comes with being a mother is very important, I guess, if I'm not mistaken from what you said. With us, I believe we have Sister Safiya Abdullah from the States, inshallah. We'll be with her. Assalamu alaikum, sister. If you can hear us, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you very much for being with us. It's a pleasure to have you on the program, inshallah. Brother Abbas will have some questions for you, sister, and it will be a pleasure to have your answers to the questions. Brother Abbas.
Now we are on the line with Safiya Abdullah from the United States. Thank you for joining us in this program. First, let me ask you this question. How can parents be good role models for their children according to Islamic concepts? Can you hear me?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay. The first thing they have to do is, the child is going to mimic, as the Sister Fatima said, the child is going to mimic the behavior of the parents. So if the parents put a priority and prioritize things other than Islam over Islam, the child will do the same. Let me give you an example. In Western countries, often, well, never in America, are Islamic holidays observed as holidays. Yet we have many other holidays that are observed that have nothing to do with Islam. So when the parent themselves does not take off of work for Eid, does not take off of work for Ashura, does not take off of work for other religious holidays, then that child learns that Islam is something that is only practiced in the home or practiced in the masjid. The parent themselves must be an example completely of everything they try to teach the child. A mother cannot tell her daughter to wear hijab and not wear hijab to work. A father cannot tell his son to make salat and not lead the family in salat, not just on the weekends, but even on the weekdays. So Islam has to be established in the parents. Unless they can reform themselves and be able to integrate Islam as a viable part of their life and as the essence and soul of who they are, the child will only see Islam, particularly if the parents are from another country, immigrate to the West, and the child is raised in the West, the child will only see Islam as a cultural identity and as something from the homeland, from the old country, that doesn't have anything to do with their current life. So everything that parent does has got to be with Islam in mind. Now, let me take it to a deeper level just for a moment, because I understand there are more questions. But when you're a farmer, if someone decides that they're going to farm, they're going to search all over for land that is fertile, land in which their plants can grow. Oftentimes, a father or a mother will move to a location for education, for a job. They have put that over their Islam. If you are going to raise a family, you must search out a community that is strong, that has a good foundation. And when I say community, I'm talking about Muslims. So you want to find a location that has a Muslim school, not just a Sunday school, but a Muslim school that goes throughout all the days and teaches all of the subjects. You want to find a community in which the people think very similar to yourself. Because this is what is going to be the nurturing aspect of your child. Most of the time, we do it just the opposite. We ourselves focus on the world. For example, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "May Allah save the children of the later days from the improper conduct of their fathers." And he was asked, "The fathers who are mushrik?" And the Holy Prophet replied, "No, from the fathers who do not teach children their religious duties, and when the children tend towards religious matters, they forbid them from doing so, and they want them only to deal with material matters. For they, I have cut myself off from them, and they are cut from me." This is something we don't tend to think of, but it happens. I see it all the time. I was a teacher in a Muslim school for 14 years.
Thank you very much. Let me ask you another question. Of course, we have a lot of Muslim families in non-Muslim countries. How Muslim families can teach Islamic principles to their children in accordance with Islamic principles in non-Muslim countries? Can you elaborate on it?
Yes. First of all, the parents themselves have to instill it within their family life. For example, if the time for salat is in, goes off, because over here there are many apps. All of our cell phones have apps. The adhan goes off. You're sitting at a workplace where there's five Muslims. You will hear the adhan in five different places going off on the phone. We have a lot of the technology that can let us do. So if the adhan goes off, then the family has to establish the salat. You have to go to Sunday schools. You have to attend Muslim schools. You have to understand, first of all, you have to understand how Allah has created our faculties, our aql. When you understand that these things need to be established before the aql sets in, as we know the aql sets in at different ages for boys and girls. Girls about 9, boys about 12, 15. What the aql does is cause you to question. It does not give you the answer. So you must establish good relationships with good families, good friendships for your child while they are young, before 7, before they reach Mumayyiz, so that they have these relationships and these friendships with these Muslim children. You have to start that young. Normally, a lot of times, people come from overseas and they come to the West, and they decide, at 9, I will put my daughter in hijab. That is too late. You start off your daughter in hijab at 3 and 4. Let me explain to you why. A child naturally wants to act like an adult. So when they start reaching adulthood, and I'm not talking what the society says adulthood is, 18, over in the West.
Okay, Sister Sophia, sorry to... Sister Sophia...
They start questioning... Yes?
Sorry to interrupt. I know that you were in the middle of the answer to that question, but we're going to take a break. Stay with us, please, and then we'll come back and we'll hear the rest of the answer, inshallah.
Dear guests, thank you very much. Let me ask you another question. Sometimes we see some families make some mistakes at home. We see parents, like that father smokes in front of his child, and then he expects his child not to smoke. How should we behave in a way that children trust us in Islamic principles?
The way that you have to handle that is that you have to do what is right. And yes, we all make mistakes. So when you do make a mistake, you have to acknowledge that mistake. Parents tend not to want to say, I was wrong. I made a mistake. I did something that was displeasing to Allah. You have to make that acknowledgement. Otherwise, you are merely being hypocritical, and you should not be upset when the child themselves does the same thing. What you also have to understand is that you cannot force your culture and the way you were raised on your child, especially in another land. You have to understand that rituals, that everything you do has to be taken to a more intense level with your child in the West. You cannot just redo Kamal every Thursday and go to the masjid every Thursday and that's it. You must sit down with that child as they grow older. And when I'm talking older, I'm talking 7, 8, 6, and explain to them what you are saying and what it means. It has to be relevant. Fasting, salat, hijab have to be started early. You cannot wait until the aql sets in, because that will cause the child to question why they're doing it without developing the habit of doing it.
Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us in this program. We are running out of time. My dear brother Mahdi, do you have any questions?
Sister Sophia, thank you very much for being with us. Please stay with us. Inshallah, we'll continue with the discussion. Sorry to interrupt you again, but we'll continue with this discussion. We'll have more questions for you, inshallah. For now, we're going to go to Sister Fatima with another question in regards to upbringing children. in the West. I think a very important topic or question that we can pose here is about, you know, boys and girls, our Muslim boys and girls, our Muslim children going to public schools abroad in Western countries. Obviously, it makes a huge difference which country we're talking about, okay, because I understand that it varies depending on the country, the environment that they are in, and stuff like that. But if you could give us an idea or a criterion of how we can figure out whether, for example, this Islamic school or this public school is appropriate for our children, or would you even want to encourage, for example, parents sending their children to public schools, for example?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A very important part of bringing up your children and letting them let go of them is to establish good habits in them. What you will do many times, you will do all the time. Mm-hmm. And to emphasize to the child or children that a bad habit is your enemy, mm-hmm. and it controls you. Mm-hmm. Don't you want to be in control? You should be the rider, not the horse, mm-hmm. because you're controlling the horse. The horse shouldn't control you. Yes. And that's what's a bad habit. So when a child, like my children were brought up in different countries, like they went to mainly American school and British school. When they went to British school, it was emphasized that they take part in the religious lesson, which was Christianity.
The Bible studies, for
example. Yeah, Bible study. Because when you compare, for example, Islam with any other religion, they cannot compete, and the mind only accepts sense. Yeah. And our intellect, after all, is the part which makes a decision. Of course, we have, always I told children, there's freedom in choosing your religion, but you have your intellect to make the right decision. Mm-hmm. So, and I think the Shia Islam, which is so based on the original Islam, you know, whatever the Prophet said, whether it was who was the successor and who are the Ahlul Bayt and who are our models, nobody can, you know, challenge that. So we have this strength to say, now, whatever religion you follow, you must learn all the others and then choose and see, are you following the right path or not? Because even in Islam, you can get lost. Mm-hmm. There are many paths, there are many different sects which have come about like flowers from the ground. So we have this kind of confidence that the Shia Islam is the original Islam. We are the follower of the Prophet, and we do what he says. Like is a hadith of saying, the Prophet said that, oh, they say they love me, mm-hmm. they're liars, mm-hmm. because enmity towards Ali.
Yes.
Destroys the love for me. There is no love for me if they have enmity towards the first successor and the one he loved the most and was known, who actually established Islam, mm-hmm. through fighting, through even it went so far that even the wife of the Prophet went to war with him out of enmity.
Yes.
So we have in history, we have a good background that is the Shia Islam is. So good habits is the basic. And the Prophet said that if whatever you carve in a stone, it will stay with it, and mm-hmm. it stays with it. Sometimes when they grow up, like they with other children, they come home and say, oh, I've done this, they have done that. Then don't feel shocked when they mm-hmm. tell you, say, okay, but you know, try, because there is a difference between someone walking towards paradise and somebody who's not walking towards mm-hmm. paradise. So naturally, and we are, for example, we have the guidance 250 years even after our Holy Prophet, our Imams guided us.
Yes.
And we have all the literature of that, and we have all the hadith from the house of the Prophet. So they were selected. Mm-hmm. So I always say to the children, you are also selected.
True.
Because you followed the selected.
Yes.
So you have to be selective.
That's true.
You know, we don't go to supermarket with our trolley and take everything down from the shelf. No, we look what is good, what is not.
Yes.
Like, you know, we say, wash your face. You're looking at the greatness of Allah. And this is a very important point, is that before you send children out, they have to be proud of Islam.
True.
Because it is the pride of the world, is yes. Islam. You know, it's yes. the light of Islam. And if they don't have light, they have darkness.
True.
And salvation lies in following the right path. So yeah, to make them proud. See, that is Islam.
For them to feel superior. In terms of this ideology that they're following. This, you know, we always mention Islam as a religion, but I think more than that, or I guess I could say that religion itself is a way of life. For them to understand that this way of life is superior to whatever else is out there, and for them to feel proud about that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Inshallah, we'll come back to Sister Fatima in just a minute. We're going to go to Brother Abbas now. He's going to let you know a little bit about the comments that have been made on Facebook, I believe, and then we'll come back.
Thanks, dear viewers, for being with us until now. Here I was browsing websites. On one of the websites, we have something nice about religious training of children. What exactly is meant by religious training of children? Here we have some necessary parts of a religious training. First one is beliefs in God. Children must be taught about the existence of God. The second one is in the hereafter. Children should be gradually introduced to the idea of death and the life hereafter. They should also know about the prophets and imams. It is necessary for children to understand the role of the prophets and to have love for the holy prophet and imams. And the parents should read the stories from their lives for them. Also, we have rituals. What do we mean by rituals? It means that a child should be encouraged to pray, recite the Quran, and perform ablution. We also have morals. Children should be taught about notable characteristics such as honesty, kindness, justice, and contentment. And here we have a nice saying from Holy Prophet. Holy Prophet says, "A virtuous child is a fragrant flower from the flowers of heaven."
Yes.
My brother Mahdi.
Thank you very much. Wonderful hadith, Brother Abbas. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with the rest of the program.
Allah, nothing but Allah. Ba is the beginning of Bismillah. Ta is for taqwa, the wearing of Allah. And tha is for thawab, a reward. Ja is for Jannah, the garden of paradise. Ha is for Hajj, the blessed pilgrimage. Kha is for Khatim, the seal of the prophethood given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Da is for Deen, Al-Islam, religion with Allah since time began. That is for dhikr, remembering Allah, and rise for the month of Ramadan. Oh, Ramadan. Za is for zakah, to cure our greed, when we give our money to those in need. Sa is for salamun alaykum, peace be with you, wa alaykum as-salam. Sha is for Shams, the shining sun, which Allah placed for everyone. And Sa is for Salah, for when we pray, facing Him, every day facing Him, till we meet our Lord. Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Da is for duha, the morning light, the sun has turned from red to white. Da is for tariq, a path to walk upon. And dha is for dhil, a shadow. And ah is for ilm, the thing to know, to make our knowledge grow in Islam. Rise for Ghaib, a world unseen, and that we know is not a dream. And Fa is for the opening Al-Fatiha. And Qaf for the Quran, the book of God. And Ka is for Kalima.
Welcome back, dear viewers. We're still here with you with the program Open Talk, discussing the very important topic of parenting in Islam. I believe Sister Safiya is still with us. We have one more question for Sister Safiya. Unfortunately, we're actually running out of time, so I would like to ask her to give us a brief answer in regards to this question. I think the question that I would want to ask, because this is something that I dealt with myself or saw, you know, my friends deal with, was that a lot of times the parents weren't spending enough time with the children that were living abroad. If, Sister Safiya, if you could expand on that a little bit and explain how important it is to simply, you know, spend time with the children rather than just telling them what to do and not really being around.
Well, the only example that most children have, honestly, of Islam in a non-Muslim society is through their family and their parents.
Yes.
So if the parents do not sacrifice their own needs, the thing is for motherhood, that is a life sentence. You know, there's no time off for good behavior. It's not a hobby. It is everything that you do. I don't care if you're a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher. Your primary responsibility is raising your children and involving them in situations. And that's why I put such an emphasis on where you choose to live and the environment, the children, the people that you surround them with have got to be good Muslims. Your priority has got to be Islam. When your priority is Islam, you will set that example for your children. You can't just ship them off on somebody else and expect them to be Muslim. They will be Muslim around you, but outside of your eyes, your eyesight, they will be like the people that they are spending time with. Even when it comes to choosing their friends and their spouses as they get older,
yes,
if they're only around Muslims, if you have not developed a relationship, a friendship with them, doesn't mean that you give up your authority as a parent, but you have to be able to be in such a relationship with your children that they can confide in you. They have to be able to trust that you will listen to them, not belittle them, and give them good advice. And you have to establish time with them to do that. You have to invest in time. Just like most people come to the West and invest time in an education,
yes,
so that they can try to make their life better, you have to invest time in your children.
Thank you.
Because you are establishing that.
Thank you very much, Sister Safiya. It was a pleasure to have you on the program. Your experience is always welcomed here as a person who's been living abroad. So thank you for your opinions. We're going to go to Brother Abbas. He has a question for Sister Fatima Trudy, and then we'll carry on with the discussion from there.
Thank you for staying with us. Our dear guest, one of the viewers, has asked a question. If my son tells a lie, how should I treat him? I should use physical punishment like getting spanked, or I should use other ways for treating my children, for teaching him moral behavior?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yeah, the best best way of dealing with anything is reasoning. See, when a child gives you a reason, I have done this because of that, then reason is a concept, but reasoning is a progress. Now you explain to the child, if you told me the lie, your angels will know, because they have already smelled the lie before you told the lie that this was said. And science tells us that when a person tells a lie, the computer can pick it up. The smell is picked up by the computer that the person is going to lie.
Sorry for interrupting you. You mean child is a mirror of his parents?
Of course, many times children hear the parents lie. And you see, there should, of course, if there's a good contact between a husband and wife, That is the best medicine and the best upbringing for a child, like we say. If you want to, if tell the father, if you want to do something good for your children, then love their mother. Right. Because the boys will see how he treats their mother. And children are very sensitive if a father doesn't treat a mother well. It will reflect on their own life later on. And you're going back to the lie. The child should know you can go ahead with lies quicker, but you can never go back on it. And the other problem with the lie is that the next lie will discover your first lie. It will discover the truth, in other words. A lie can never be covered up for long. It is there, and it's not worth it to lie, because the punishment for lies is severe. Also, it should be, and say, okay, if you lie again, I will know, but you know, the punishment from Allah is more than what I can give you, so don't lie. But the thing is, parents shouldn't lie either. That's the criteria.
Thank you. Here I have a nice saying from Imam Sajjad. As you said, the right of your child is that you know that he has emerged from you in this world. His right and wrong are attributed to you. You are responsible of his fine teaching and training, guiding him to his Lord Almighty and Glorious, and assisting him to obey him. Therefore, be sure that if you do a favor to your child, you will obtain it. And if you act viciously against him, it will come back to you too.
Thank you very much, Brother Abbas. So as the final question, inshallah, because our time is going to be up in a couple minutes. As the final question, if you could also give us an answer in regards to the ideological threats that are out there, right? The different ideologies that are out there, ideologies that, you know, children are going to be dealing with, they come across. Ideology, a lot of times in the West, it's presented to them a lot better than the Islamic way of life is presented to them. So if you could explain how we are going to keep them, or how a parent could keep them, you know, immune towards these other ideologies, inshallah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Freedom can only be found in sincerity. Mm-hmm. So freedom lies in feeling the knowledge behind you. The knowledge gives you the freedom.
Yes.
Like when people approach you, be always courteous, mm-hmm. and give them an answer they didn't expect. Mm-hmm. Even if people insult you,
yes.
you know, like I was telling the story when somebody insulted Isa,
yes.
alayhi salam, and he said he didn't take away my wisdom,
yes.
but maybe he would become better by seeing my behavior.
Yes.
And that's the thing, we are supposed to mix up. We are not supposed to be isolated from other religion. Religion is your free choice. And we respect human beings because they're human beings,
yes.
not because of the religion, mm-hmm. right? So whatever they choose, but children must know. Like Imam, we have a saying of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He said that when you send out your child, whether it is out of your house or to another country for study or whatever it is, make sure it is equipped with the knowledge of Islam.
Okay.
Because if it is not, it will be like a bird which falls out of a nest before it can fly.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when it falls on the floor? Children come and play with it.
Mm-hmm. Meaning that it would, in other words, if I'm not mistaken, the hadith is saying that for you to put your child out there and to be threatened with all these different thoughts, you know, concepts and notions that are out there, these ways of life, in other words, you can't really do that, or Islam won't allow you to do that, unless you're sure that that child has the knowledge, and in other words, he has established those fundamental principles of Islamic faith, that he won't be affected by those other ways of life. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because if you're not equipped with knowledge, you fall an easy prey to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil is forever there.
Yes.
And the other thing I wanted to point out is modesty at home.
True.
To be modest, not to be extravagant,
mm-hmm.
because extravagance is something very ugly. It is away from beauty, it's away from Islam, it's away from from our whole nature.
Yes.
Because our nature teaches us to be modesty. Modesty is our origin.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, when children see extravagance, they by themselves, their own fitra tells them there's something wrong. Why are they spending money like this? Why they, you know, because when you're extravagant, our Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam said, you become, according to the Quran,
yes,
the brother of the devil.
Yes.
It is so severe,
mm-hmm,
right? So the a child which is, the other thing I would like to point out is when we are with people of other religion, there's nothing wrong with it. If you know who you are, you have an identity, you're proud of your religion, and you know you're sure of your religion, is that religiously we cannot learn from anyone because we are superior. Islam is superior to all other faiths and religion. But we can learn from others too. Other people also have morals, they also have a standard, and we should be sure that our children are mixing up with people who have moral values,
mm-hmm,
not just go with any garbage.
Yes.
You know, so you can be safe when they're out with others. You have to know who they are, because you will become like your friend. There's no doubt about that.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Sister Fatima Trudy. Dear viewers, unfortunately, our time is up. I would like to thank Sister Fatima Trudy for being with us today.
Pleasure.
Like the previous program. Also, I would like to thank Sister Safiya Abdullah for being with us and letting us know about her opinions. And I would also like to thank Brother Abbas Munfarid, who mentioned some of the questions, the opinions, and the comments that you put on Facebook and other websites. Thank you very much for being with us. Inshallah, we'll see you in the next program of Open Talk. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.